Hello, Screeters. Heidi, my wife, is on a holiday with a friend visiting a cabin on a lake in central Wisconsin. When she's not around, I'm obviously responsible for taking care of the cats, meaning our cats in our house, all of her plants, and all of the outside animals that she takes care of as well. It's not that much time, honestly, but it rearranges the whole routine. It makes me feel adrift or disengaged. All I really do is work, and then when I'm home, I hang out with the cats. I have no motivation to do anything creative. Sometimes it's just difficult enough to get out into the car and go do leads for work. But I'm alive, and I'm making my way through it. It's just a strange, surreal feeling. I don't really know how to explain it, nor explain why the phenomenon is happening. Why, when she's home, would I be more apt to get involved in my hobbies, while when she's gone, all I want to do, or all I feel capable of doing, is hanging out at my house and binging Vikings. It's really weird. But today I have an episode for you with a kind of a call in cats up, if you know what I'm saying. We got some good calls from Joey Richter, Rich. I'm pretty sure Jason Connerly has a call in here, the Pink Phantom. So without further ado, I think we should wait. Maybe we won't. Yes, we will. I don't know. What I do know, today is July 19th, Wednesday, home day 2023. I am Jason Hobbs, and this is Random Screed.
Hey, Hobbs, it's Joe. It's been a long, long time, man, but I'm still out here listening. That's awesome to hear that your game went off really well, man. I'm super glad you had a fun time, and I'm even more stoked that you were able to get together with folks in person and play around an actual table. I did that for the first time in a long time this past weekend at time of recording this, and it was amazing. But yeah, I was wondering, like, for your in-person sessions, how long are they normally? Are they longer than your online sessions? Because I found for me and for the folks I play with, generally, like 3 hours, roughly 3 to 4 hours online is about all we can take. Whereas this past weekend when I was playing in person, we played for about 23 hours in a 46-hour period. So we gamed a lot in long stretches of a time. So I was just calling to see how that stuff went. Anyway, man, great to hear from you. Glad to hear that you're getting together with folks around a real table. Take it easy, dude, and peace out.
Thank you so much for that call, Joe. I really appreciate it. That's Joe from Hindsightless, the man with the infectious energy. So as far as my face-to-face games, it seems like 6 hours is kind of what we're good for. And I think a lot of that is not gaming. It's catching up. It's hanging out. We don't have a weekly game. It's kind of whenever we can get together, usually whenever my schedule works. So it's just not something that we do all the time. And that's okay. I think I would appreciate a weekly game more. But at this point, that's just not in the cards. I kind of like to make it so. But I think I got there at 9, and I think we were heading home by between 3 and 5 or so. But, you know, when I got there, you know, I had like a little cake thing, a breakfast thing for us to eat. So we hung out and ate that, and went over the rules, and we made characters, and then we had lunch, and then my brother had a thing going on for a guy. It was just a lot more distractions than I normally get in an online game. And as far as online game go, normally about 3 hours is what I like to play. Sometimes longer. Like, I did run a 6-hour marathon charity session for Kalmata ways back in the, through the mists of time. We're looking back now, but super fun time. I think it all depends on, you know, how much energy the quote unquote room has versus the GM versus how many distractions there are, what's going on. A lot of different issues like that. I think I tend to run to more tension-heavy game with a lot of description, vivid, lurid details, with like probably some kind of body horror, and usually quite a bit of energy, I think. But I don't know. What I do know is thanks for calling in, and it's time for the next call.
Hey, Hobbs. Just wanted to say that, I think I prepped similarly to you. I ran Cyber Metal 2012 this week, and we were going to create characters. So I stressed about it all week. And then that day I got up and I was like, okay, we're going to make characters. I'm going to have a good half hour to design something here. I've got kind of an idea of what I want to do. I want to do Battle of the Bands, and there's like three things standing in their way to get to this Battle of the Bands. So that's all I had. Everybody shows up, they look at the VTT and they go, oh, cool, pre-mades, and they each grab one. Let's go. And I was like, oh, damn. So, I didn't have much time to prep there. And because I put it off so long, I didn't have much to go on. But I had read some stuff, and I pulled out a zine that I knew had some stuff in it, used that, kind of pushed them in a direction. And then I wanted to do a combat so we could all kind of test the combat system out, and some skill rolls so we could test that system out. And yeah, that was pretty much it. We went to the mall, found some instruments, dealt with some wolves that were harassing the people selling the instruments, and then got our instruments fixed. So now I've got a week to plan out the next step for them to get to the Battle of the Bands. Will I wait until Saturday morning? Probably. But I'm going to think about it all week. So hopefully there'll be some better ideas stewed around in my head. So, yeah. I'd say take Hobbs' advice. Don't prep like us.
There's Rich from Cockatrice Nuggets. Thanks for calling in, Rich. And I would heed Rich's advice. Don't prep like us. In some ways, though, you know, perfection is the hindrance to getting out a product. I think it's also a strong resistance to getting going on a campaign or adventure or whatever. What in the hell were wolves doing in the mall? I'm already confused. But I will tell you that right now I'm working on another thing. So I got another Kalmata game that's coming up next week that I've had weeks to prepare for. And I've thought about them quite a bit, and I left the game on a cliffhanger, which I think I'm going to maybe step back from a little bit and actually do what I had planned on as opposed to what I did do. I just think it's a better story. I didn't fudge any dice rolls. Nothing's happened, so it's okay. I think it's a good way to introduce a new NPC that I can voice and have fun with, and I think will be an engaging interaction, as opposed to just a big combat that doesn't really serve a ton of purpose. It was in the wrong spot, is what I decided. So it's nice to have that time to think about things and write or play out your stories. And I mean, even using the term story, I guess, is wrong. What are we even talking about, guys? I don't know. Yeah, what he said, don't prep like us. Oh, and my other comment was, not only am I thinking about this Kalmata, I also have the new Tales of Argosa Low Fantasy Gaming 2nd Edition playtest that I want to do. And I'm struggling again with how much do I railroad and how much do I let be a sandbox. Sandbox means, you know, we aren't going to really figure out what the heck's going on until we play for a little while, but I kind of wanted it to be a little more focused than that. So, my brain is at an impasse. Impassable pass. I don't know. Thanks for calling, Rich.
Hey, the other Jason here. Just listen to Connecting the Dots. great closure there on that whole process. Sounds like it worked out fine for you. You know, having a kind of open-ended game where you know you can lay plot hooks out there and let them slowly build, it's pretty amazing. It's something I really haven't had as a DM. I've always been I've always been locked into fairly closed, you know, we're doing six sessions of this or we're doing four sessions of that. And so I haven't been able to do that slow burn, laying little hooks that they can pick up on or not pick up on or come back to later. And that's very cool. Someday, maybe after I retire, I can run a game like that. So I envy your ability to do that. But take care of yourself, and I will talk to you soon.
Jason Connerly of Nerds RPG Variety Cast calling in enviously. I'm just kidding, Jason. Thanks for the call in. And yeah, it's cool. Like I say, I don't even necessarily know how to do it the other way. I think I narrow the sandbox when I talk about it or when I run it like at a convention, a lot of games. It's one of the things I'm kind of struggling with concerning, you know, the Tales of Argosa campaign. Even calling it a campaign feels weird. So I'm kind of stuck somewhere in the middle of how I normally run versus, you know, just trying to actually write an adventure like I would for a product or for, you know, a three or four session one shot or whatever. Three or four session one shot sounds like an oxymoron. There should be a term for that. Let's ask Anthony from Runeslinger. Runeslinger, what is it? What's the term? It wouldn't just be Anthony. I guess it would be all the people that like to talk about terminology. Even Spencer. Dun, dun, dun.
Hey, Jason. Spencer here. Long time listener. Long time no call. I hope you can forgive me. I've been listening with great interest to this whole discussion around levels, layers, stances, frames, and just considering the implications of terminology and how I do like the layers in the way you describe them, in these sort of different things that are kind of laid on top of each other. I think I slightly prefer that to levels, because levels suggests a kind of hierarchy. Stances, as Anthony pointed out, there's something very intentional about that. There's something quite confrontational about that, I feel, personally. And then frames. I quite like the idea of frames, but as I think Anthony pointed out as well, there's something very bounded to that in the sense that it's got definite borders. And I think that conveys the wrong idea too. I liked your suggestion of a spectrum. I did consider maybe using the term styles, as in styles of engagement, because, there's a suggestion there that it's just about personal preference, no one style being better than the other. But then you risk invoking the whole styles of play argument, which is another thing, again, I feel. But then I was thinking a bit more about it, and I came up with this idea of perspective. And bear with me, because I think I'm still trying to figure this out in my head. But thinking at it from a pronoun perspective, with the first person perspective being how you act on what your character knows of their immediate situation, of their relationships, and their knowledge of their place in the world. Then you've got the second person perspective, acting on what the GM is telling you. This would include all of the above, plus the consideration of rules, implementation, and knowledge of the world beyond the character's personal knowledge. Then you've got the third person perspective, so acting as a player with an overview of the table. This includes all of the above, plus the social contract, what you and the others at the table want from the game, and knowledge of the game beyond the world. As I say, I think I might still have to refine this idea, but I think there's something there that I like anyway. I look forward to hearing your thoughts. Take care.
Hey, Jason, the Pink Phantom here. I was just listening to your podcast, The Final Level of Play. I think if you ever do want to return to talking about what you were calling levels, I wonder if using the term scope wouldn't be a term that you would prefer, since you've kind of soured on the idea of calling them levels just because of some of the implications of that are built into the term. I do agree that it is too bad that analysis of RPGs and styles of RPGs and how RPGs work and are played kind of tends to devolve into edition wars. It's interesting that previously, before I listened to a lot of RPG podcasts, I was listening to a lot of board game podcasts, and they seem to have a lot more advanced in that term of just discussing the techniques and mechanisms of board games and board gaming and different types of board games, different styles, different levels of depth of play without that kind of blowback. I wonder if that's just because D&D never really went away, so the edition wars tend to be just more part of the industry versus board games, which didn't have that one dominant factor for so long that people would tend to fight about if any time it changed.
And there was a twofer on levels of play or layers of play or stances of play. So we got a nice call from Free Thrall, Spencer of Keep Off the Borderlands, and the Pink Phantom. I wonder what his real name is. He's so very mysterious. He sounds like he's kind of from the South. That's just my thoughts. I don't know if there's somebody that knows. And if you don't want anyone to know, that's fine too. Just let me know, buddy. But yeah, I think scope, I think perspective, I think these are all good names. I always find it interesting that we take them from other places when it would be cool to be able to just come up with our own and make it our own, you know, our own lexicon of terms from role-playing games. I mean, we have some like the D10 or D6, I think. But is that really a lexicon or is that jargon? I don't know. I really appreciate you guys calling in with your own perspectives. See what I did there, Free Thrall. And I really appreciate it. And I agree. It seems like I would say almost every hobby, especially when you get as deep into it as we are with this hobby, there are endless arguments. And they seem to be cyclical, as our next caller comments on.
Hey, Jason. It's Mike, Chicago Wiz, from Dungeon Master's Handbook. Just listen to your episode about the POSR. I feel like I've gone back in time. Boy, this is a subject that just will not die. It is the true undead of role-playing. Is my XYZ thing that I was into dead? You know what? You're right. The Google Plus OSR is dead. Long live Google Plus OSR. The blog OSR that I was in is dead. Long live the blog Grognardia, etc. OSR. What's next? I don't know. You know what? The thing about it is, you know, I think it's now called traditional gaming, trad gaming, whatever. I think people are always going to want to go back and see, what was this old stuff like? How did it play? What did people get from it? And they're either going to relearn lessons that folks have learned, or they're going to find something new. And I think at the end of the day, that's the most awesome part of this. I think that, the OSR is dead, but yet the OSR lives because it's about playing games and finding new lessons or even old lessons and discovering them for yourself in the games that came out before gaming took a different turn in the 2000s. And that's cool. Anyway, take care and game on.
Hey, Mike, thanks for calling in, my man. I really appreciate it. That's Mike, Chicago Wiz. You're supposed to say Chicago, but it doesn't really spell out Chicago. He's from an earlier time where they didn't use vowels in their nicknames. Not really. That'd be cool, though. In all seriousness, I really struggled between responding for a little bit about what Mike said and just doing a little blurb that said, enough said. I found myself not wanting the podcast because it seems like we're constantly talking about the same things over and over and over. The OSR is dead is the longest, oldest thing, or is it ascending AC, or what are hit points really, or why did they use Thaco, or I don't know, any other number of things that you can add in there. Anyway, if I sound jaded, it has nothing to do with your call, Mike, because it was wonderful. Thank you so much for doing it. And I think I'll just finish here with, enough said.
If he is up or down, his podcast still comes round. Hobbs is in his van, don't turn off that sat nav, man. Random screed, don't know what you get, but it's what you need.
All right, screeders, I think we're going to wrap it up here. Here's an optional end piece to the bookend of the beginning. Next week, or in a few days, we'll be back with an old new topic, or a new old topic, or an old is new and a new is old, and what comes around goes around. And regardless of all of that, I just want to make sure you guys all know to stay alive. You've all got jobs to do. Next week, I'll be heading on the annual golf trip to Devil's Head, Wisconsin, a charity event for Dark Horse Lodge, a charity that I talked about kind of at length on Nerds RPG Variety Cast when he was doing his military month. And if anyone wishes to contribute, I'm hoping to do a mass contribution. So far, Eric Salzwedel and myself have tossed in some money for that purpose. If anyone else wants to, you can DM me on the Discord. You can email me at hnfhobbs@gmail.com. You can send me PayPal, Venmo, whatever you want to do. The charity is for veterans, mostly disabled veterans, to be able to go and fish and hunt. All the people that work there are going to be veterans, and all the guests will be veterans. It's like a hunting/fishing lodge that is in Tennessee. One of these days I'll head there directly, stay for a weekend slat. I'm not a veteran, but hopefully I can pull some strings and get it done. I just kind of wanted to mention that if anyone wants to donate. There's multiple ways how. I also know that it was mostly just a call-in episode, and I think sometimes that's nice. I've been getting some new and more calls. I don't know if people are listening to podcasts again. I don't know what's happening, people, but I got to tell you that I like it. It's motivating me to do more shows, and I enjoy that immensely. Hopefully when Heidi gets back, I'll finally get back on the battle station mic and get some of these interviews that I really wanted to do for Hobbs and Friends. The last thing I'm going to mention is check out Gary's Appendix number 3. It is on Kickstarter right now and will be for a few more weeks. I have an article in there about the dastardly Hodag. What a horror, from Rhinelander, Wisconsin. It's better to burn out than to fade away.